Welcome to A New Lens with Common Good Capital, where we talk with investors, RIAs, fund managers, business leaders, and philanthropists about their experiences within different impact investing themes, as well as explore the power of stewardship and capital. I'm your host, Jeff Schaefer, CEO of Common Good Capital. I am here with Susan Correa, founder and CEO of Art and Eden, a thoughtfully built, deeply considerate lifestyle brand for children from the ages of 3 months to 10 years old, and was born out of a quest to use business as a force for good. Susan previously led multi-million dollar operations in the business of fashion across India, Europe, Canada, and America. Susan, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. I'm excited to speak with you today.
Well, likewise. And I say this on my podcast, and it's true of everyone. I am always excited to learn about people's stories, especially along the lines of stewardship and capital. So let's get started here. And we've got some questions that I'd love for you to walk us through. The first is, give us a little background of yourself. For example, where you grew up, where you went to school, and then maybe a high level of your career as well.
So I'm Indian by birth, Spanish by name, U.S. and Canadian by citizenship. I am immensely enriched by the unity in my cultural diversity. I grew up in India. I graduated with the honors in psychology. I was an athlete, the best athlete of the year for 5 consecutive years in university, but landed up with it by default into the business of fashion. It's often said that we get to choose a career, but a vocation chooses us. And I've had the incredible good fortune to have never worked a day in my life. I have truly responded to a calling and found delight in the work I do. Professionally, my career has spanned over 3 countries, over 2 decades, with just 1 company. I was placed as an intern at Creative Garments India and have been with them working for the past over 2 decades. I've really had a very unique disposition of having witnessed the business of fashion from 360 degrees. My journey started at the back end on the factory floor, really understanding all metrics of the production of process. Very quickly, that got ramped up into merchandising, design, and product development. Soon, that accelerated into marketing. Before I knew it, I was leading a multi-million dollar business in India, Europe, Canada, and the United States. At that time, profit was my purpose. I was nimble-footed, agile, and had my blinkers firmly in place as I galloped in the pursuit of bringing latest and greatest fashions quickest and cheapest to world markets. So my professional life was action-packed. It was exhilarating, and I truly, truly delighted in every moment that I spent in it.
I've told you this once before, but I love chatting with you because the passion and enthusiasm is clearly in your voice. So, but I want to take you back to one quick thing that you said. I'd love to know exactly what you did. You said you're an athlete. So what sports did you play?
I spent every free moment on a field. So while I was a long distance runner, I played every conceivable sport from hockey to basketball to volleyball to the local Indian sport, Khokho, like just about everything. If I was not in school, I wasn't a playing field every free moment. I grew up in the middle of 2 brothers. So I grew up pretty much doing everything that they did.
So are you competitive then?
I would say that I am competitive. I have grown to become more cooperative. But I think being an athlete brings out the natural competitive instinct in myself. But I've learned to tune it down a bit now.
Clearly, you've had a wonderful career, and obviously you've shifted gears, and your goal is to have a phenomenal career going forward. But how would you best describe who you are in the context of where you're at in your journey?
So the date was August 18th, 2014, and the location was Bangalore, India. And that was the day basically everything pretty much radically and irrevocably changed for me. A couple of weeks prior to making a trip to India, I had read a blog post about a school that was nestled in a densely populated slum district in Bangalore. And the Hope Foundation school was providing meals for the kids in the school. Children from the neighboring districts were coming to the school for the meal. It was their only meal of the day. And they were ending up getting an education. And one by one, their lives were beginning to change. And I was awestruck by that blog post, because I couldn't imagine such a simple act of caring and giving had the potential to forever change the life of a child. 21 days later, I was at that school and I had confirmed that I would sponsor all of those meals. I entered the school that morning, fired up to make a difference in the life of the kids. And I left the school that evening completely transformed. I think the kids changed my life. It was for the first time that I realized that I did not have to wait for somebody to do something about issues that were close to my heart, that I was well able and fully capable of making a difference. And that really transformed the way I looked at business from a completely different lens. What intended really to be a simple act of giving turned out to be my biggest personal and professional gain. On that journey to India, I was basically reading two books. One was Seth Godin's Linchpin and the other was Jim Collins' From Good to Great.
Mm-hmm.
And everything began to connect during that evening. Collins' ideas of being best for the world connected with Godin's ideas of being best for the world and putting your best gifts into the world. I connected the need with that I witnessed of the children and at the school and the ability of business to rise up and meet those needs. You know, it was just a very powerful time. I think the author's really powerful messages, the inspiring children, and just the whisper of possibility and the hope for radical reform, I think it all just came together in such a powerful recipe that I couldn't go back to business as usual. Something completely changed that day. And I think the seeds of what was to become Art in Eden were firmly planted that evening.
It's fascinating to me that you had a specific date and time. And I have found with a number of these discussions, it doesn't have to be this way, but there usually is kind of a point in time that is very pivotal. I know in my own life, it was a waking up from a back surgery, and I too saw the world differently. You obviously are in this new journey, so you could answer this question either in that context or if you even have a broader way to address this question. Either way, how are you trying to change the world?
So there was a time that I thought I was clever and I wanted to change the world. I'm glad today I'm a little wiser, but I've started to change myself. It was from this quest of really trying to build business as a force for good that I spent the 2 years after that day, August 18, 2014, I spent 2 years really deep diving into the business of fashion because I was trying to understand whether business as a force for good or business as best for the world was a utopian idea or whether it could be brought to reality. And in that study of every facet of the business of fashion, from seed to shelf, from farm to finished product, I dug into every single aspect of the business and unpacked way too many pieces and parts and processes that needed to be reimagined. I really recognized at that time that I was part of a systemic problem. Our industry had engaged in an approach of business that was linear. It was a take, make, waste approach. And we were just making fast fashion at a pace that was faster than people could even consume it. It was landing up in global landfills and then emitting greenhouse gases. And it was just a vicious circle. And once I recognized that pattern, I just could not go back to business as usual. I just could not turn a blind eye and participate in that model anymore. And really, from being part of the problem, I wanted to become part of the solution. And for me, changing the world started with changing how I approach that. It really started to say, okay, I'm going to be the difference I want to see.
I've got a few more questions, but I'm going to jump to one of the questions in light of what you just said, because I think it ties in. I'm sure you've heard the word stewardship. What does stewardship mean to you?
I think what came out of my study of the business of fashion, the entire process, was how interconnected we all are and how what happens to one of us really impacts all of us. I think no time is better than what we're going through right now to show how small and interconnected the world is. And this unfolded for me when I was studying out the business. In our pursuit of profit, we were really not mindful about everything else that was going on around us. And basically, according to the UN, the next decade is all that remains for our generation to stop irreversible damage to our planet. We are the generation that basically will determine, for good or for ill, the state of our planet and how we're leaving it for the kids to come. So for me, climate justice becomes intergenerational justice. And I really can't turn a blind eye to that and the responsibility it holds, because I know that there will be an hour of choosing. The next generation will look us in the eye and they can ask us one of two questions. They can either ask us what on earth we were thinking of when we saw so much of environmental wreckage and climate change all around us and conducted business as usual. Or they could look at us and say, how did you find the moral courage? How were you able to step out of your comfort zone to be able to face this challenge and to reverse it? And stewardship to me is the embrace of that responsibility and knowing that I did everything that I possibly can as one individual to be able to look the next generation in the eye. And I could say to them that, you know, yes, it was daunting. Yes, I put everything at risk. But when I thought about you, it was not a choice anymore. It became a business imperative that I would rather try and fail than fail to try to make this change a reality. So for me, stewardship is doing everything in my power to make the right choices and to make considered choices towards the generation to come.
I like that. So you had mentioned earlier that you viewed business probably the way a lot of people do. It's about profit, which obviously that is part of it. So this next question goes, I think, to that, as well as maybe some other aspects. When did you realize the power of capital?
So Arden Eden is a public benefit corporation. We are a for-profit business that has embraced triple top-line accountability, which basically means we've moved the responsibility to the beginning of the design process. We've assigned values to a multiplicity of economic, ecological, and social questions that together enhance our product value. So the need for financial capital, which is the most easy to quantify and codify, became very apparent when I wrote out the business plan and charted the way forward for how we were going to build this business. It became even more acute when I looked at the competitive landscape and I saw that I was entering a playing field where the incumbents were giants with 50 to 100 years of having been there already and have captured 68% of the market share with just five players, all doing multi-billion dollar businesses. But sustainability was not just something we dreamed of. It was just not something nice to do. It was our DNA. It was an integral part of what we built as our business model. And so while the financial capital was a very important and pivotal part to be able to grow and scale, I don't think that could be done in isolation of not recognizing the power of the other components of capital, which is the human capital, the investment in our team, in our knowledge and enhancing skills, in really looking at the value chain differently. You know, we had to be mindful of natural capital, recognizing that we are producing in an ecosystem that has other life that matters as well, that our life is not the only thing and our profits are not the only thing that matters. So how are we managing, how are we producing this crop so that it doesn't damage the birds in the sky and the fish in the ocean, because we are stewards of this planet and we have responsibility towards that. And how are we also working on developing our social and relationship capital? So really looking at everything holistically, all parts of capital holistically, became very apparent both while I was doing the business plan and the 2 years prior to that when I was cutting out the processes. So I recognized that this was far more involved than anything that I had done before. And I'm truly, truly grateful to my angel investors who put the early money down, just seeing the vision and feeling to be part of the vision, because they invested in patient capital, that they did not put a rush on just getting the numbers right, but they allowed me to really, really build the business model true to its intended DNA.
One other question. Can you articulate, and you and I have touched base before, so I know there's a multitude of things that you are trying to change in the fashion industry. Can you give us an example of one of the things that you are doing differently at Art in Eden that people can understand how you're making an impact?
I think moms are very aware of what they put into their child's body. I don't think there's enough awareness that what you put on your child's body also matters. Nature protected our children with three layers to their skin. We get to put on the fourth layer. We must choose with responsibility because it's their largest organ and it's porous. When I recognized what goes into the fabric, I was aghast that cotton, which is the most used crop in children's clothing, occupies 3% of the global farmland, but uses 25% of the world's insecticides and 16% of the world's pesticides in its manufacture. Topped on that unsustainable fabric is highly carcinogenic dyes and prints. So really looking at every piece of the process, we started with using organic fabric that does not use insecticides or pesticides. We use low impact dyes. We reconsidered how we were going to ship and pack. All of our poly bags are biodegradable. Our paper comes from recycled materials. So everything about our product, we are trying every day and every step of the way to make it as safe for baby as possible, for baby and toddler as possible. Along with the goodness that we're trying to build with product, we're also trying to make a difference in community. A percentage of the profits goes to mentorship programs for children in need, as well as to support multivitamin programs across Central America. We are a young brand, but we've already delivered about 1.5 million multivitamins and 7,500 doses of albendazole to children all across Central America. So the brand does not just allow parents to buy better, but also to do better in the process.
You know, I hadn't really thought about your argument of the skin being the largest organ. Obviously, we do know it's porous. And so just to hear you articulate that definitely makes you think before you put probably clothes on yourself and then clearly clothes on your younger children. So, by the way, and I've looked at your website and I think you've done a phenomenal job and also have looked at your impact report. And for those that want to be educated on this, you guys have some wonderful materials in your impact report. This question is a hard question. It does not have to be the best or your number one. I hate questions like that, so I'm prefacing it that way. But if you could make one dream come true for your life, what would that be?
Art in Eden was really born from an awakening. It was a desire to bring conscience back to commerce. It really became the answer to what on earth was I put here for and how can I make my presence here count? So it's a very deep question for me because I followed this question for about 10 years before building out Art in Eden. And my hope and my dream is that our generation will really be the one that will be celebrated by the generations to come. I want for us to be able to use our collective will and wisdom and really be able to take on this really awesome, exhilarating, and really potentially eternal choice that we are faced with, the choice to stop irreversible damage to our planet. If I could see that happen, that would be my hope and my dream come true because we cannot satisfy our own needs by compromising the needs of the generations to come.
Well, how cool would it be if, whatever, a generation, two generations, three generations from you hear this podcast someday and be able to say, Susan, it absolutely, you've accomplished what you set out to. So in the motive of your being, which is extremely positive, we're going to assume that that is going to happen. So we thank you so much for sharing. We appreciate your insight and your knowledge. Again, for those of you who want to learn more about what Art in Eden does, go to their website. It's, again, just behind the scenes of why they're doing what they're doing is phenomenal. So we appreciate you coming here today. Don't forget to subscribe to A New Lens with Common Good Capital on your podcast app of choice. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. This will help new investors find the show and hopefully put them on a path to a more fulfilling portfolio within the impact investing space. And Susan, thanks again for all your wisdom today.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for having me. It was a joy to speak with you.
I'm Jeff Schaefer, and we'll see you next time. This podcast is a production of Common Good Capital and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation of an offer. Such offer would only be made through a private placement memorandum. Prospective investors in private placement securities should be aware that making an investment is speculative and involves a high degree of risk, including the risk of losing all or a portion of an investment. Investments of this nature are illiquid and subject to substantial restrictions upon transferability.